The Joe Mason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we'll talk nothing but NBA Finals. Later on, J.R. Wilco will be here from PoundingTheRock.com to give us a perspective from the San Antonio Spurs side of things. Tom Lewis and I will kind of have some conversations about what we think has been occurring in the first three games of the season, or I should say the series. And joining me to talk about this amazing series where San Antonio is up 2-1. Please welcome from HotHotHoops.com, David Ramilla's in the house. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Phil. I'm doing phenomenally today.
Yeah, me too. You know what? I enjoy talking basketball, even though my Knicks are not in it. The only thing I can talk about with my Knicks are Derek Fisher being the coach. And you know what? I don't have enough Malocs for that today. So let's talk NBA Finals. I got to say, I said something on the show 2 days ago where I hadn't seen San Antonio play, at least on offense, the way they had at times during the season, the ball movement, the pinball machine thing that you and I've talked about before as well.
Right.
And I think they did that in game three where we hadn't seen that in games one and two, have we?
No, not to that level. I mean, I think yesterday was clearly a historic performance from San Antonio, probably one they're not likely to reproduce in games four through, you know, potentially seven. But it was just amazing how they were able to capitalize on every pass. You know, they shot extremely well. They moved the ball with incredible fluidity. And I think it started off with Kawhi Leonard, his amazing performance, 10 of 13, 29 points. This was a guy who was in foul trouble in games one and two. And then yesterday he found his stroke early and often, and it was the deciding factor for the Spurs.
Yes, it certainly was, but 75% from the floor in the first half, you don't get that very often, if ever. It was a record, and it was an incredible first half. But, you know, when you look at the stat sheet and you look at everything and you look at the game, Miami didn't play that poorly. Anytime that you can shoot, say, 51% from the field and 51% from the field and 49% from three and still lose, something's not right.
Well, they didn't get a lot of production from their guards. I think, Mario Chalmers has had a really tough stretch in the finals so far. And, you know, I kind of expected him to bounce back yesterday because he had some problems in games one and two. Kind of like Leonard, he had foul trouble early on. And so I had expected him to kind of bounce back with the home crowd, kind of feeding off that energy. Definitely didn't happen, only 2 points. So I think it wasn't even just the lack of production, but it was just the times that he missed open shots. He went 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 3 from downtown. And it was just in critical moments of the first half when they really needed to kind of stymie that flow that San Antonio was kind of building up in the first half. And he just missed those shots, and it really took a lot of the energy out. They were very deflated. And so you kind of saw Miami come back a little bit in the third quarter. They were able to cut that 25-point lead down to 7. They started off the third quarter with 6 straight points, limited the San Antonio's runs, and they were able to kind of claw their way back. And then, you know, San Antonio, to their credit, they bounced back, they responded, and then from there it just turned into an eventual blowout.
Yes, it did. You know, when you think about it, when you're best three players, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, only shoot 28 times out of 62. That needs to change. You would think that with a team like the Heat, they should be taking 80% of the shots, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think you'd like to have Rashard Lewis and Chalmers and maybe Ray Allen come off the bench and contribute that way. But the big three needs to be more productive. You got a good game from Wade, who bounced back from a shoddy game two. LeBron's numbers were a little off, more pedestrian, even though he did finish with 22 points. But I think Chris Bosh was really the factor there. I mean, only 4-4, a total of 12 touches. He wasn't an impact defensively. And then offensively, what we've seen in game two was him being aggressive, driving to the hoop, finishing at the rim with authority. It didn't happen in game three, and that was the factor. I think he started taking that mid-range shot, which he knocked down in every one of his shots, but it wasn't enough to set San Antonio's incredible offense. So he needs to be more aggressive so he can get Duncan other players into foul trouble, and he'll be the deciding factor going forward.
Yeah, they were 21 and 28, the big three. They need to shoot more. If they don't, they're going to get shot right out of this series, I have this feeling. But you know, you want Rashard Lewis and you want Judas Shuttlesworth to get their shots, but they're supposed to be the daggers, not the ones that deliver the death blow. And these guys need to step up. But the point guard situation with Chalmers and Cole, what happened to those guys? Because that's not how they played against Indiana. And the thing is, and it's not an East Coast thing, I don't think. I think it's just they're struggling right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I really noticed Chalmers, like, you know, what I said in earlier, you know, he had foul trouble in games one and two, so maybe that kind of got him off his rhythm. But I think he's completely shot at this one. He's collapsed a little bit. Yesterday, I noticed a little bit of a hitch in his shooting motion. He just wasn't stroking with the kind of confidence that we've expected to see from Chalmers. I'm not sure how much of a factor he'll be going forward. And then as far as Norris Cole is concerned, his speed and athleticism is always going to be a positive force for Miami. He was able to get to 10. You know, he finished 3-9. You know, not bad. 8 points. You know, that's not what we need from him. We need more, you know, getting the ball, moving it around more effectively. And from Chalmers, we need him to hit at least a couple of threes per game so that he can continue to contribute and be a factor. Like I said, you know, if he hits those shots early on, he starts to get that confidence and mojo going. It really puts San Antonio on their heels, and maybe they don't make that historic run in the first half.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the other thing that they did well toward the end, they being the Heat, was the curl screen with Judas Shuttlesworth. And he was, you know, he was what, 3 of 3 off that screen, but he was dropping some dimes too. I think they need to do that more often, right?
You know, it's you know, he's been very productive and that's all that works against San Antonio's defense. I guess they'll have to look at it and, you know, determine that was the deciding factor there. So, you know, I think he was a little tentative himself. You know, there were some times there where he was open from downtown. He could have taken a shot. He did, you know, and then he put the ball down. You know, to his credit, he was effective at it. But I think we need to connect more from, you know, outside. And, you know, it's exciting to see, you know, San Antonio's incredible offense. But at the same time, I'm not sure that the Heat, you know, have won yesterday's game. I think they just need to tighten it up a little bit here and there. And they might have been able to pull it out. You know, they did get it within 7. That could have been an issue. And, you know, they just weren't able to capitalize as the third quarter wound down.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it was outside of that first half, it's a pretty close basketball game. But San Antonio definitely demonstrated that they were the better team in game three. There's no question about that. You know, it seemed like one of the things that it seemed like to me that Miami didn't adjust to very much or very well to was the fact that the Spurs were switching more on defense than they had in games one and two. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know you weren't very complimentary of Danny Green a couple of days ago, but he was very active yesterday. And I mean, that was impressive. He was, you know, active hands. He disrupted a couple of lazy passes from Dwayne Wade there. And I saw at least 3 steals from him in the first half that he really just disrupted everything that Miami was trying to do offensively. And you're right, they're switching. I mean, there was no answer for it. I mean, Miami looked flummoxed. They looked a little out of sync. And, you know, I got to give San Antonio credit. They really disrupted Miami, who has been, you know, playing fairly effectively throughout the playoffs. So it was a little surprising to see, but, you know, maybe they'll just tighten it up and then they'll be able to concentrate. You know, there was a little passivity there. I saw, you know, a couple of guys passing up those open shots. When they have them, they have to be able to take them and make them, you know, because it's, you know, against San Antonio's active hands and constant switching, they're not going to have a chance otherwise.
Yeah, Danny Green's still a scrub, though. And the thing is, here's the thing, that people don't understand that there's a history on this show. We've been doing this a lot longer than just 1 year. And yeah. We used to do a skit or a radio gig, Danny Green, the Dancing Machine. If you remember when he played for Cleveland, he was better known for dancing with LeBron James before every game. And that's something we used to riff off of. And you know what? He didn't have a very successful career in Cleveland. And we used to just rip on him. And that's why we call him a scrub now. Old habits die hard just like old radio bits die hard. He had a very nice ball game. And congratulations to him. I don't wish the guy any bad luck. But you know what? We got on the radio because of Danny Green. It's the truth. So we're going to continue to call him a scrub here until he finally retires and gets off our radar. Hopefully very soon. But yes, he did have a great game, really good game, and he played well. But that switching was probably what threw everything in the kilter. Now you've got game four. It's in Miami. How long do you think the fans will stay before they disappear?
Well, it all depends if they win it or not, I guess. You know, they'll stick around for a victory, but they won't if they lose the lead. But, you know, that was a little unfortunate watching the fans leave. But, you know, I guess by that point, it was really a blowout. It just feeds that kind of narrative they started getting last season when they left during game six. But, you know, I wouldn't make too much of it. You know, that was a pretty good crowd in the first half. They were, you know, they were beaten, and they still had enough energy for the third quarter comeback, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think Boris Diaw was a big factor too. I didn't mention him earlier, but I mean, inserting him in the starting lineup, that was a hell of a move from Popovich, and it worked out because even though he wasn't extremely productive, he just helped San Antonio get into that flow early on with his passing. There was just that moment of indecision from Miami defenders, whether or not Diaw was going to shoot, whether or not he was going to pass. And that's all it took for somebody to whip around, make a quick cut and get to the hoop. And it was really a factor.
Yeah, it was. It was a very good move. You know, that's what we kind of speculated on. That's their best lineup is Diaw, Parker, Manu, Tim Duncan, and Kawhi Leonard. That's where they're most efficient, at least during the playoffs. But it's going to be an interesting battle. You know, like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. Spurs blew out the Heat in Game 3 of last year, and we all know how it ended. Do you look for something similar to that in Game 4? This time it's in Miami and not in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to. This is the game for them. I think they have to win it because they can't afford to go 3-1. I think, you know, historically teams don't come back from that, and I think as it shifts back to San Antonio, this could be the end of the series if they don't get a victory tomorrow. So I'm expecting them to come out with more intensity. I think they're going to be matching that San Antonio level of energy and effectiveness, and I expect them to pull out a victory tomorrow.
I expect that too because, as you know and I know, and a lot of people probably in the West Coast don't see it because they're probably working while the Heat are playing their early games at 7 o'clock or whatever. Yeah. But anytime the Miami Heat's back is to the wall, they have responded. They have never lost consecutive games in the playoffs, I don't think, as that group.
Right.
And I have this funny feeling that LeBron James, and I watched the press conferences yesterday. I saw like half of the game this morning after my tennis session in the morning, and then the stream died. But I did watch the press conferences, and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James looked very relaxed. They're not too concerned about a bad performance because they didn't have a bad performance. They just got outshot. When you have a team shoot 75% against you, you know what? Sometimes you just have to say, too good. And they damn near came back. I look for a Miami win today. There's no doubt about it. Now, but what's going to be the key for that win, though, David?
Well, I think, you know, like we mentioned before, I think, you know, San Antonio is a good team, and I think they just had a historically great night. I think from the Miami perspective, they just kind of need to tighten up the things that they do very well. I mean, there was some sloppy play, some missed rotations on defense, some missed shots. I think it's just an overall tweaking, not necessarily a large upheaval that's going to be a deciding factor. I think that's the key for Miami. It's just kind of, you know, fine-tuning what they do well and what they've done better than everybody else over the past 3 years. So, I mean, aside from that, I think you hope to get more production from Chalmers and Cole. If they start struggling early and they can't be a factor, I don't think Spoelstra will go to Tony Douglas for any kind of prolonged minutes. I think maybe inserting Shane Battier to provide a little defensive presence, not to mention some long-range shooting, that might be a key as well. So You know, aside from that, there's not really much else they can do. They've got as much production as you could possibly hope for from starter Rashard Lewis, Udonis Haslem, Greg Oden, and the other guys on the bench. They're not going to contribute. So there's nothing else that you can really make as far as an adjustment at this point.
You know what I think? They're going to need to play LeBron James 45 minutes, let the chips fall where they may, and if they do, they're going to be the victors in game two. David, great stuff today. Good luck tonight. We'll catch up with you next week, and I'm looking forward to your thoughts on games 4 and 5. See you next week, dude.
You got it. Thanks so much, Phil.
Thank you. That was David Ramil. You can find him over at hothoops.com. Coming up next, Tom Lewis and I will be on the outside looking in, giving you our thoughts on this amazing series. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
no.
I think it probably comes from porn as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to philnasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at draftstreet.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We just heard from David Ramil from Hot Hot Hoops. Later on, we're going to hear from J.R. Wilco about this amazing series. But up now, from IndyCornrows.com to play the outsiders looking in. Tom Lewis and I will do just that. Tom's on the line. Welcome, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Phil. Good talking with you again.
It's always great talking with you. You know what? Next week we can probably bring up the Pacers. I'm still not ready yet. I don't know.
I'm not ready either.
But you know what? This has been an interesting a very interesting series. And to me, you said this off air, and you're right. It's like a violent switch, violent change. That was very aptly put. It's been crazy, huh?
It has. I mean, you know, game one, the Spurs do their thing on their home court. And then game two, you see, well, LeBron's just too good. You know, it's going to be Miami unless something changes. But game three, San Antonio made some adjustments and just did their thing and you know, made a few shots and more shots. And, you know, all of a sudden they looked like, oh, it can't be beat. So, you know, through three games, we've had three narratives. I think that's about all you can ask from an NBA Finals.
Absolutely. You're right, too. And it's all about making adjustments. And Greg Popovich made an incredible adjustment. You know, he brought, I believe it was DL, up to the high post. And to keep Miami from doing their transition thing, you know, stealing the ball after their traps, forcing teams to make long passes that they don't want to make. And then it's off to the races. And Miami just couldn't do that in game three. And I think that was probably had a lot to do with why San Antonio basically blew them out, other than the fact that they shot 75% from the floor in the first half. That was nuts.
Yeah, just ridiculous. And you're right, that adjustment, you know, helped nullify one of the, you know, strengths of the Heat, and that's creating those, you know, turnovers for touchdown, as you know, the Pacers put it, where you cough it up and before you know it, it's a bucket at the other end, and then you're trying to go at it again, and there's more pressure, and things can snowball in a hurry. And, you know, the Spurs shut that down and were able to do their thing, and obviously they got the looks they liked, or at least for game three they liked, because it was a rare miss.
A rare miss is correct. You know, when they interviewed Popovich after the game, and I love watching these post-game interviews on NBA.com, he looked shocked, man. And I guess I would be too, because it was like a pop-a-shot game or a game of horse.
Yeah.
They just couldn't miss. And it wasn't always that they were taking great shots, but it was just everything just went in. And it was one of those nights.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, he's like, you know, I drew up a game plan for all this to happen, but, you know, you don't expect it to happen that way. And, you know, he just almost had to be able to sit back and enjoy the show himself, because, you know, his team was dialed in and everything was working perfectly. And now, you know, the onus goes back under the Heat to see if they can rise up and counter and have one of those types of games as well. Because, you know, San Antonio got their home court advantage back in a hurry.
Yes, they did. It's like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. Yeah, the game three blowout by the Spurs, but this time the game three blowout was on the road. And one thing that you and I know awfully well is that when LeBron James and the Miami Heat have their backs to the wall, they came out. They will come out firing. They did it in game two. They squeaked one out on the road, which is a big win on the road in San Antonio. Yep. I think you're going to see an angry LeBron James just based on what I saw in the post-game interviews. They just were like, okay, they shot 75%. Okay, we'll just have to come back in game four. And that's what they do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they are good at that, at looking at a game and seeing, you know, where they lost it. And, you know, is that the norm? No, that's not going to be the norm. So, okay, we're all right. And then we come out and we're going to throw haymakers and try and get back on top of you and get that momentum back. And there's no other player in the league like LeBron who can impose that kind of force on another team. And, you know, he's going to be ready to come out and do it again. And, you know, seems like every time he's challenged, at least you know, this past few years, he's risen to it and come back and gotten it done. And until you get that fourth win, he's alive and he's the best in the league and can rise up and alter a game like no other players. So, you know, there's a long way to go in this series.
There absolutely is a long way to go. But Kawhi Leonard, he was phenomenal game three. Big night offensively, big night defensively. There's a stat that this is nuts. In this series, with Kawhi Leonard on the floor, it's like plus 163. That's bizarre, especially when you consider the struggles that he had in game two, staying on the floor with fouls. That's bizarre.
Yeah, and that, you know, catching a little bit of that with Paul George and the Pacers when that starting unit had success against the Heat. They're great, but a lot of times the reason they don't is Paul George gets in foul trouble because, like I say, when LeBron has that will and that mindset going, and, you know, it can be tough to guard him, and the fouls can rack up in a hurry, and that's what happened in game two. He was the aggressor and had things going his way, but man, Kawhi Leonard had things going more than his way in game three, and obviously that was a huge factor as well for the Spurs.
Absolutely, he owned him, and that was was the whole difference. But yeah, you're right. You know, and you bring up fouls, and one of the things that I noticed in game three, and I didn't talk to you about this off air, but I'm sure you'll have a thought or two about this as well, because you and I never talk about the referees, never blame them for anything.
Never.
Never. Never. But one of the things I noticed is they were letting a lot of stuff go. Those screens that the Spurs and the Heat were setting normally were called fouls in the regular season. Even the first two rounds of the playoffs they were called. But in game three, they weren't. And for me, I thought that was a nice thing. You let the boys settle it on the court.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we always think of playoff basketball is, you know, it's going to be physical. You know, the men step forward in the playoffs, and you're going to have to take your bumps. You're going to have to play through times when you think you get fouled. And again, that type of a game favors LeBron because he's hardy enough to handle the physical play. And he also is so physical that when other players, you know, think, okay, it's fair game to start hammering, he's going to pick up the fouls as well because, he's going to draw fouls on other players because it takes so much to slow him down. And, you know, in general, I'm fine with that physical play and let's decide it on the floor.
In general, I am too. As you know, I'm a favorite fan of the old days where they just hit and get taken care of business. And people got nasty, but they didn't get brutal. You know, maybe sometimes. But it's nice to watch the players decide the game rather than the whistles. And use your whistle to make sure no one kills each other. But outside of that, it was very interesting to watch. And it was refreshing to watch. Because so often we see these referees, and they have the hardest job in the world. I've tried to referee when I was younger. It's a difficult thing. And a lot of times, you know, they react to things they think that are going to happen rather than what actually happens, a la Manu Ginobili and Dwayne Wade and the Dwayne Wade flop. But it was really good to see that they handled their business out there, that all 13 people on the court were kind of like in sync and let them do their thing. But the one thing I wanted to talk about with you, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were 21-27 in game three. And that's not enough shooting. They need to shoot the ball, I think, anyway. If they don't shoot the ball 80% of the time and account for 80% of those points, they're going to be in big trouble because you can't count on the Rashard Lewis and those others to carry the freight.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a Spurs, you know, prime plan to get the ball out of those guys' hands and have those other guys beat you. Now, they might do it for one game. You might get that game where, you know, we've seen it plenty of times where it's the gut-wrenching three from Battier or Ray Allen or Rashard Lewis, where you think you got him beat up, you get the ball out of the guys, LeBron or Wade from killing you or not letting Bosh get loose, and you're happy, make or miss, you're happy with the shot you've given up, and they can get going and beat you maybe one time, but over the long haul, you're much better off having them kick the ball out and take your chances from downtown than you are having Wade and LeBron get their shot or at least get into the lane and draw contact and get to the line.
You're right about that, too. You're better off letting that happen because those guys, when those three start going, especially LeBron, you mentioned it before, he's a load. 6'9", 270, and he doesn't not an ounce of fat on the guy. He's a load. And you might stop him once or twice. If you can stop him four times, you're the champion. But I don't see how they're going to stop him again and again like they did on on game three. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I agree. And even though it's easy to emerge from game three and think, wow, this is a San Antonio series to lose at this point. I just, I always go back to the best player having the advantage, and he remains the best player. And so I until they get that fourth one on him, and he's still got breath and life and the ability to help the Heat rise up, I'm sticking with him, and we'll see how it plays out.
That's exactly right. We're Eastern Conference guys, and we see this too often with that LeBron James character. Yep. And the thing is in the folks in the West, and it's nothing against what they say, the East did suck. You and I talked about this often all year long. It sucked. It was embarrassing at times. But the top two teams, Indiana and Miami, were just as good, if not better, than the Western Conference counterparts. And the thing is that I hope that they don't ignore the fact or even attempt to write off the fact that LeBron James is a freaking beast. And we saw that last year. We've seen this for 4 years. When you've lost only one playoff series in four seasons in the National Basketball Association, you're doing something special. And to stop them, what do you do? How do you stop them? If you're coaching against the Heat, what do? You hope for the same thing again, right? Kawhi Leonard staying out of foul trouble, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you saw that in game two where there was nothing you could do but get out of the way. Down the stretch, they got it done, and it was all, the stage was set by the play of LeBron, and you got to try and take your medicine with him and not reach and not get ticky-tack fouls, and it's really hard to do. And you got if you're going to foul, you got to make it count with him, and that is just tough to do. But, even last year, the Spurs were within, a second and a rebound away from putting them away, and they didn't in game six. And then, kept LeBron's pulse alive, and the Heat came through and got it done. And so, I'm expecting nothing different this year. And that's why this is just such a fun series. Because these two teams, so much experience, and with 2 years in a row, there's a little chippiness involved, and it's just great theater.
It absolutely is. And if you're San Antonio, you want to step on that team's neck in game four.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, it's going to be a long series. And I'm not putting anyone down here, but don't write off the Heat just yet. Anyway, I'll tell you, this is going to be good. Whatever happens, it's been a great series. We've had a lot of fun talking about it, Tom. We'll get back next week talking Pacers ball. But I think if the Spurs can do exactly what they did in Game 3, move the ball, not allow them to get off in transition, and then hopefully keep Kawhi Leonard out of foul trouble, they could pull it off. But again, LeBron, when he's back to the wall – he starts taking the ball to the rack, and you get fouls left and right. Tom, great stuff today. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next week to talk more about our Pacers.
All right, Phil. Enjoy the rest of the series.
All right, you too, man. That was Tom Lewis. You can find him at anycornrows.com. Coming up next, J.R. Wilco and I will talk about this series from the Spurs' perspective, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town of Reign of Terror.
After these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason show.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and it ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please, just shut up. I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time. Don't you ever just shut up?
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. Back again to talk more NBA Finals from a San Antonio Spurs perspective. Please welcome from PoundingTheRock.com, J.R. Wilco is in the house. J.R., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Phil.
It's always a pleasure to have you. This is like our one-year anniversary.
It is. It is. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't buy you anything, though, but I've been too busy on the tennis court. Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you something because you're a big tennis fan. Now, did you watch the French Open final?
Oh, I couldn't. No, I didn't.
I watched it. I did watch it. It was on. I had to watch it on the stream, of course.
Was it a four-setter?
It was a five setter, I believe. I'm sorry, it was four sets.
Okay.
And Nadal cracked him. And anyways, it doesn't matter. As you know, I don't care for either of those two.
Right.
But I just wanted to get that out there. But it was a fantastic performance by Rafael Nadal. 9 French Opens, dude. And here's the thing. I want to correlate something here. This guy is 64-1 at the French Open.
Mm.
He's only lost 1 5-set match on clay in his life. It kind of reminds me of that out-of-the-mind, out-of-body experience when you're just fantastic as the Spurs first half. On the show the other day, JR, I said this. I said, and I was riffing actually off Greg Popovich's statement after Game 2 that it's move it or die. I said, this is not the San Antonio Spurs offense that I'm used to seeing. And I got flamed for it. Now, that was a phenomenal experience. That was something that we've seen before, but never that kind of shooting, right?
No one has that kind of shooting. You don't shoot that way against no one, much less in the NBA Finals against arguably one of the top defenses. I mean, the Heat do not have the best numbers this year, but you can just see the way they're playing and see that they've got a switch that they can turn off and on. And it takes effort to play defense. And the one thing that you do when you go in for a three-peat is you cut corners during the regular season and you take a break when you can. And if you can win by just blowing teams out and just playing great offense, then so much the better. They weren't gunning. The Heat were not the team gunning for the best record in the East. They didn't care about home court against Indiana, and as you can see, they didn't need it. But the issue with that team is that they play very good defense, and there wasn't any defense that was stopping San Antonio in Game 3. They put on a performance for the ages. That first quarter was the first or second best quarter in NBA Finals history, right next to the quarter that they had, the fourth quarter of Game 1. And then they came back in the second quarter and kept it up. I've never seen anything like that before. And like Popovich says, we'll never shoot 76% in a quarter again. And well, you know, he's right, because they never did. It was 75.8, right?
Absolutely. You know what? He looked shocked too. Because he's been around a long time. It was like watching a Papa Shot game. I mean, boom, boom, boom. They just didn't miss. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is crazy. And I'm watching it on the stream, or I'm trying to, and it's breaking down. And I'm thinking, jeepers, they're not missing. And the thing is it wasn't that the Miami defense was bad, though. It was because they kept my boy Danny Green, my favorite scrub, from shooting threes, and he started shooting twos. I mean, that's the goal, is to not let that guy shoot threes. Mm-hmm. And they prevented him from doing it. But then he started taking the ball to the rack a little bit. And that's what killed them. I think that it had to be demoralizing. I don't know if you got a chance to see LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in the press conference after the game, but they were just looking at each other like, you know what? It's like the tennis player who is playing well, and the other guy is just unconscious, and you either hope they finally come back down to earth, or you shake hands at the net and say, nice job, too good today.
And you've talked about this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you take the angle, and you give them that line shot, and if they paint the line with balls all day long, then you give them a little clap, and you say, hey, great job. You know, hope I get you next time. I mean, there are some things you just can't do. And basketball is a game of offense. Defense wins championships, but it's a game of offense. There are some things you simply cannot stop. Good defense still gives up 70, 80 points a game. That's good defense. That's fantastic defense sometimes. And that's a lot of scoring. I mean, basketball is a game of scoring. And so when a team just refuses to miss, and I got a text from Michael Erler, who shows up on your show every week. He texted me early in the game, upset because LeBron James wouldn't miss. And then it was pretty ironic because it was the Spurs eventually who just stopped missing. And Kawhi Leonard went off, and there were some open shots that he had, but there were some contested shots that he had as well. And he does this. I mean, I think he's done this at least once in every playoff series so far, where he just goes off and shoots like 60, 70%, makes like 60 or 70% of his shots. But last night was just across the board. It was ridiculous. And everyone got in on it.
Yes, they did. They certainly did. I mean, that's incredible. I was just amazed. But that's the way they set it up was that pinball machine offense that we talked about before many times that we hadn't seen in the first two games, not to that extreme. That's Spurs ball, and that's the type of ball when I referred them to my greatest team ever, the New York Knicks of 1973-74, same kind of thing, only I don't think they ever shot 70% in the first 5 minutes of any part of any game. It was just an incredible performance. And Kawhi Leonard, again, you people who flame me when he was at San Diego State, when I told you he was going to be one day a superstar in this league, all right now, stop the flaming. Anyway, I got to ask you something. Spurs, right. Game two, and I vetted this before I said this on the show, and you know I do this from time to time. I vet things with people before I say them. The San Antonio Spurs in game two shot 60% from the line, 80% from game three. The difference in this ball game as opposed to the last one, again, making those free throws, because free throws count, don't they?
They do count. They do count. I got to tell you, when Tony went down in game two from Chalmers' elbow, at first I thought he was – I kind of rolled my eyes. Mrs. Wilco was watching with me, and she was all worried. And I'm like, Tony does this. He'll cover his face, and he'll lay down there on the ground for a while, and then he'll hop up and he'll hit his free throws. Don't worry. And then the trainer came out, and he was still sitting there, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a little bit different. And then he got up, and he didn't hit his free throws, and they were both short, and he looked like he was hurting. And I – well, you know, I wasn't about to send a Happy Father's Day card to anyone in Mario's family, I'll tell you that. And then Tim gets up there and he bricks a couple, and I was just I'm like, look at this. I don't care if we're up 4 or 5 points. That kind of thing in a game like this comes back to haunt you. And it absolutely did. Now, it would have changed the end game. They might not necessarily have won, but they would have had, you know, another 3 or 4 points on top of it. It changes things. And that's just absolutely brutal. You got to hit your freebies. And that's why anybody was griping about the refs after game two, I told, you can't gripe about the calls you didn't get when you didn't hit the free throws that you had when you were standing on the line for the calls that you did get. And that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, well, several people had objections to those statements, and I just wanted to clear that up because that's important. But then we're kind of old school, and our coaches used to tell us, get to the line, make your shots. And they didn't, and it is what it is. But now, one thing, though, I mentioned with David Ramil earlier, I thought that one of the big differences in this basketball game, and he agreed. You can correct me if I'm wrong because you have more of a Spurs perspective than we do. They switched more on defense in this game than I'd seen them do in the whole playoffs.
I think they switched more in this game than they did in the entire season combined.
What I was thinking, too.
I was watching. I was going. all of these picks kept on coming, and there was no traffic flow stop. They just went through. They just bounced off each other and stayed with the new guy. And it was so weird to watch the Spurs do that. It was kind of eye boggling, actually. I was watching them play defense, and it did not feel like the Spurs playing defense. And then here Miami goes going, oh, we'll take care of advantage of this mismatch. And then here comes the double and triple teams when that guy tries to take advantage. And it just – Miami loves to hold the ball late into the shot clock. And when you do that and you make your move against the – you know, your mismatch that you've chosen, when you get double, triple team, there's very little room for you to do anything with the ball at that point. And that's what I saw the Heat get caught in. And – I don't know if Pop will do that another game. It might have just been that one game that he threw that out, or they might just switch for a particular rotation or a five-man unit, or you know, during this half of the third quarter, you know. But to actually see him do that, it was a little weird. It was a little unnerving, kind of surreal. But I liked it better than the zone he tried earlier. That didn't work at all.
That made sense. You know, too, the other thing I thought about was that the referees were letting them play a little bit more. Mm. And that was a good thing, you know, because a lot of screens that both teams were setting during the regular season, we would see them called as fouls. But they let the kids decide the game. And that's the way it should be in the playoffs, especially in the finals. Let the kids decide the game. And they did. And that was a beautiful thing to see. Now we've got game four. And this is one of those things, and I watch the Heat. I'm an Eastern Conference guy, as you know. You know, we talk a lot, you and I. And every time it seems when LeBron James and the Heat have their backs to the wall, they wind up coming out like killers. Does that concern you at all?
Of course. I mean, these teams blew each other out in last year's finals. So the issue is not who just won, but who will win. Was it Rick Carlisle said, in the playoffs, after every win, you feel like you can't lose. And after every loss, you feel like you can't win. And this means this game, game three, it was fun. It was awesome. I really enjoyed reading all of the analysis about it. And all the numbers are pretty and they're gaudy to look at for sure. But it doesn't mean anything for game four. And if anything, what it means is that the Heat are going to make adjustments. They're going to see the way that the Spurs offense is handling their blitzing the pick and roll ball handler. Because if you watch closely last night and you say that your feed was kind of clicking in and out, that blitzing defense that they do whenever they take the man being picked and the man who's defending the ball handler and send both of those at the ball handler in order to make the other team make passes that they don't want to make. The Spurs have posted an additional man up high as a safety valve, and they've hit the short roll. So the guy who set the pick will just go a little ways into the defense and take that pass, something that the Indiana Pacers did, I believe, in game one. But they really looked like they had, to a large extent, solved what Miami likes to do. But all it takes is a subtle little shift. All it takes is a man not where you expected him to be, and suddenly you're hemorrhaging turnovers. And that can't happen if the Spurs are going to continue to press their advantage. The question at this point is, for anyone who really enjoys watching this and thinks that they know the game somewhat, is what are those adjustments going to be? Because let's go back to the Western Conference Finals. When the Spurs were playing against the Thunder, I had no idea that game five would be like the way it was. It looked like the Thunder were going to roll with it. And you just don't know what those adjustments are going to look like before they happen. And the last team that won looks like they're unbeatable.
That's exactly right. You know what? And the way the Spurs handled that was keep moving the ball. Miami likes to steal the ball and run for days. They love the transition. That's where they kill you. And they, by putting that guy at the high post, prevented that. They made shorter passes and they got things done. Okay, you've got about 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you have a prediction for game four?
I don't have a prediction, but that doesn't mean that I won't wake up with one tomorrow morning because I had that dream about game three that it was going to be a blowout. And so we'll see. We'll see. I got to sleep on it. How about that? I'll sleep on it.
There you go. I would love to play that clip, but I'm not allowed to yet. I haven't asked for permission. I don't have time, but you'll probably have it over at Pounding the Rock or some reference to it.
We'll put the tweet in the post.
Okay, sounds great. That's what we'll do. Great stuff today. Good luck in game four. We'll see you next week to talk about games four and five and game six, hopefully, if there is one.
Thanks for having me. Sounds good.
All right, that was J.R. Wilco. You can find him at poundingtherock.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all my guests for making this an amazing day of NBA basketball. Tomorrow we're going to talk baseball, Cardinal baseball, and we'll talk a little Oakland A's baseball, and we'll talk a little Thunder hoops and answer your questions. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly...
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.